You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. The show today features a conversation with Joe Mullenix, site manager of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. That's pretty much going to be all of our show today. The conversations usually are supposed to be like 10 to 12 minutes, but with Joe, sometimes we get to talking longer, and so I don't want to make the podcast an extremely long show, and so that'll pretty much just be, that'll be the show today, just our conversation between myself and Joe. We talk about lots of different things. Avery Bradley came up, kind of the things he's been impressed. We talked about Chandler Parsons, the win against the Lakers on Monday, Joakim Noah. So we pretty much cover everything in this conversation. So I hope you guys enjoy that. Again, that will be pretty much all the show today. So you guys enjoy that conversation with Joe will be coming up after the break. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies show. As always, Joe Mullenix, a good friend of mine, site manager for Grizzly Bear Blues, joins me in this second segment of this show every single week. What is going on, man?
It's a lot more fun to come on this podcast. Don't get me wrong. It's fun every time I get the chance to talk to you, Mark. But it's a lot more fun when you come on after a win, a good win over LeBron James and the Lakers. You take a certain amount of joy watching the freshly bought Lakers uniforms marching out of FedEx Forum after a loss. It was a good night on Monday night.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. And I said that on my show today. You know, like, yeah, we come on here and I even come on the show and I bitch about stuff and I complain. But it, like, at the end of the day, like, we all just want to see fun basketball. We just play basketball and have fun and watch wins. And I think that's what it boiled down to on Monday. And it was a fun game, man. It was fun to see the Grizzlies, this ragtag bunch or whatever you want to call it, this bunch of Grizzlies beat LeBron James. So I thought it was fun. This is our first show since the news announced of Jaren Jackson's going to be out indefinitely. What are your thoughts on Jaren Jackson? Probably going to miss. I'd wager a lot most of the season. They're probably going to be very careful with him, set him down, but. Does that make a difference as far as conveying the pick, or does it matter anyway? They're just a bad basketball team.
They're a bad basketball team regardless. I mean, if Jaren did get the opportunity to play, it's not like he would get the full complement of minutes, because J.B. Bickerstaff has made it very clear that he's going to bench him when he makes mistakes. He's held to a standard that is different from that of other players, which is one of my biggest issues with the current structure of discipline, I guess is the best way to put it, that JB has put in place for his young star. I think they need to sit him, and it's not necessarily about conveying the pick. In theory, and again, this is theoretical, usually your rookies are players that are going to make you lose more than you're going to win, because they do stupid things. And Jaren does do stupid things at times in terms of his foul trouble and the way that he puts himself in positions for his coach to get him off the floor, whereas it should be the opposite. Jaren should be playing so well, foul trouble, regardless of foul trouble, I should say, that JB keeps him out there. Jaren's going to make mistakes. That's always kind of been the thing. But if your goal is to convey, obviously Valanciunas is playing very well right now. He's getting back into game shape. He looked like he was going to die at times against the Lakers, but he played very well, and he'll get. That's not going to be forever. That's not him long-term. He'll get back into game shape as they play. Joakim Noah has been awesome. I don't know how long he can sustain it, but he's shown flashes of his 2014 self, which is terrific. And then if you allow those two to get, 28 to 30 minutes a night, the rest can be eaten by Ivan Rabb, who against reserve bigs, his lack of size in the post is not as big of an issue. And then Chandler Parsons, everybody's favorite whipping boy, can play some stretch 4 minutes. You can fill out the front court without Jaren Jackson Jr. and still be relatively competitive. That doesn't mean that it wouldn't be better for the long-term future of this organization for Jaren to be playing right now, because it absolutely would. But at the same time, health has to come first, and you're looking at a situation where, yes, you want to convey the pick. Yes, you want to see Jaren go out and play. Selfishly, I want him to be out there, because he's one of the reasons that you look forward to watching this team play these last 20 or so games.
Yeah.
But it's not about the next 20 games. It's about the next, you know, as Mike Conley put it pretty eloquently a few weeks ago, it's about the next decade or so of this team being Jaren Jackson Jr.'s team. If he's going to, quote unquote, be here forever, he needs to be able to start off his reign, so to speak,
right,
as the star of the organization on the right foot. He needs to be healthy. There's no point in risking anything or pushing anything along.
Yeah, I think I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I don't think there's any, you know, there's no situation where it really matters at this point. You mentioned our boy Chandler Parsons. You and I both loved the signing. I've been big fans ever since day one. But Chandler has been, he's 4 for 24 in the last four games or last three games. He's been back. Obviously, he hasn't played basketball in 4 months, so that's a caveat there. You know, it's been a long time. But the thoughts on Chandler Parsons, I guess, since he's been back and the way he's played, and just in general.
Can I start off with a long sigh? I mean, it's really hard to watch it, and you know, you and I have talked about this a lot. And I wrote an article. You know, one of my claims of fame in my six or so years of doing this is I kind of called the Parsons signing. You know, before a lot of people thought it realistic. You know, I thought it made a lot of sense for a variety of reasons, and it turned out that it didn't work out. But I will always believe that if Chandler Parsons was healthy, he would have been a perfect fit in terms of his skill set. Now, you can argue attitude and personality traits and all that stuff, and that's neither here nor there. I think it's kind of ironic people argue those things without really knowing any of these players. Some of your heroes aren't as clean as you think, and vice versa. But at the same time, when it comes to Parsons in general, his playing style would have fit well as an offensive creator, as a perimeter facilitator, as a shooter on the perimeter. And obviously none of that's come to fruition because his health has given out on him. He just doesn't have any lift in his shot. His jumper looks like my jumper playing pickup basketball. Yeah. And I don't have a jumper, and that's kind of the point. It's disappointing because you wanted to see him at least be able to be a functional NBA player again. I'm not sure that he's going to be able to be that. Obviously, there's times where he is able to get off of the pick and roll and drive to the basket. People still fall for his pump fakes for some reason. And he still has movement.
Yeah.
It's the lift. It's most noticeable when he tries to get lift on his shot. And I'm not so sure that it is, you know, being out of shape. I think that's possible. I just think that he physically may not be able to do it anymore.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that he can't play. He could be a power forward. You know, I mean, Zach Randolph, it's not like Zach Randolph had a ton of lift, but obviously Zach was a lot stronger in other areas and aspects of his game than Chandler, especially rebounding and things like that. So it's not out of the question that Chandler can kind of turn things around and salvage his NBA career, but it's also looking more likely than not that not only is he not ever going to live up to the contract, I mean, that kind of went out the window 2 years ago, he's also just maybe not going to be in the NBA in 2 years. Now, you say that sitting here, but one of his best buddies, Joakim Noah, you know, 4 months ago, you probably would have said, hey, Joakim Noah's done in the NBA. He's washed. He can't play. And now people are waxing nostalgic about him, acting like he, you know, is the greatest things in sliced bread. And, you know, not to say that he hasn't played well, because obviously he has, but he's a guy that literally got paid by his last employing team to not play for them. So it really is taking advantage of opportunity when it comes. To the credit of Noah, he's been able to do that so far. Chandler just hasn't been able to. Hopefully it does come along for him.
Yeah, I think I was probably one of those guys that said no was not very good. I'm almost positive that you could probably go back in an episode and there's probably one title like Joakim Noah is trash or something. I don't know. I'm just guessing on myself. But I think it was interesting that you mentioned that Chandler's best value is as a power forward. But I think his best value is probably, yes, as a power forward. But I think if he – to your point, if he can't – make threes and he has no lift on a shot and he can't make those jumpers as a stretch four, I don't know if there is value for him. I know I said on the show, like, that would be the best value as a stretch four that can just shoot the basketball. But if he can't shoot, I don't know if there is value to be had with Chandler. And frankly, I don't know if he, the way he's moving right now, like you said, I,
there's a good chance he might not be in the league, you know, not play at all next year, might not be in the league after this contract. And that's, I'm sure, is scary to him as just as much as it's, you know, revealing to us. But we talked about conveying the pick just a minute ago. Do you still believe that is possible at this point watching this team? I think I have still hope, but it is dwindling by the day.
Yes, I think they can. And I still think, you know, Grizzlies fandom, and I'm sure most NBA fan bases and sports teams in general, maybe baseball is a little bit different, but even with an 82-game schedule, fans live and die by the day. You know,
last week
when the Grizzlies were getting smoked by teams that, you know, weren't very good, and obviously the Lakers aren't very good either, but, you know, the tankathon tweets and the posts about how playing to convey was so silly and all that stuff. And then after you beat the Lakers and LeBron James, all of a sudden people again want to talk about how this team's better than it was before the trade deadline. And it just ebbs and flows so much now on social media. It's pretty remarkable to me.
Right.
I've said it on this podcast. I've said it other places. I've written about it over at grizzlybearblues.com. My goal this whole season has been for them to convey the pick. If they do that, it's a successful year. Even after all the crap that's happened, if they somehow find a way to convey this pick to Boston this season, I don't want to hear about DeAndre Hunter, even though he's the guy I like out of this draft, if they do wind up at 7th or 8th overall. I don't want to hear about Romeo Langford and these other guys. Lots of people far smarter than me, whose entire profession is determined by being accurate with NBA scouting, say that this is one of the weaker drafts that has happened in a long time, and that the 2020 and 2021 drafts project to be much better. The 3rd overall pick in the 2019 draft would be the 8th, the 9th overall pick in the 2020 or 2021. I've seen that. I've heard that multiple places. I want this pick to go to Boston now. That's what I want. I don't want to pick 8th overall in the 2019 NBA draft. My greatest fear, some of your listeners may know this name, Jalen Green. He's projected to be one of the top prospects in the 2021 NBA draft. Kid might be Kobe Bryant reincarnate. Again, this is 2 years from now. Lots can happen between now and then. You're doing long-term projecting. I get it. But let's say he does become that, and he is a consensus number one overall Zion Williamson-type player. Chances are the Grizzlies are still going to be pretty bad in 2021. Let's say they win the lottery, but because they didn't convey the pick in 2019 or in 2020, it's unprotected in 2021, and the Boston Celtics get Jalen Green. That would make me not sleep for a week, thinking about how, because we weren't able to convey the pick in 2019, it's just continuing to kick the can down the road. I want to rip off the Band-Aid. I want to be done with the mistakes that were made. And I'm not, as I've said before, we talked about Chandler Parsons supporting that signing. I supported the Jeff Green trade when it happened several years ago. So I'm not going to kill him for that. I was wrong, too. I want to move on from the mistake. I want to move on from it. I want to be done. And I want to start with a fresh slate and rebuild this thing from the ground up the way that it has to be done for it to be done properly. There is no short-term fix here. So if they can convey the pick, they need to. And I think that they still can. If Valanciunas can keep this level of play, if Conley can continue to play the way that he has, DeLon Wright continues to come along, it's going to be close. Don't get me wrong. They might be 7th or 8th on draft night. We might be sweating it out a little bit. But I think it's possible that they still convey this pick. And if they are able to do that, even after everything that's transpired, I'm calling this a successful season.
That's an interesting that's an interesting way to put it, and I think that's I think it's probably largely where our fall as well. I think there's still hope. You're looking at, you know, a team that you're only 3 games from the ninth spot, 4 games from being the 10th spot. So like, it's not a crazy possibility. Obviously, it still takes some time to be able to actually win, you know, basketball games because other people are going to win as well. So it's going to take a little bit to be able to do that, but it is still possible. Avery Bradley has been pretty good. I was on record, obviously, on this show saying he was awful all for the Clippers, and he was. He has been better, much better for the Grizzlies. Where do you land on Avery Bradley? You think the Grizzlies should try to keep him? I've seen that a lot of float around on social media that people want to keep Avery Bradley. I mean, I you know, the only problem is if they don't trade Mike and they If Jonas opts in, that's $17 million. Mike's $30 million. You know, they're CJ Miles is $9 million, and then you have Avery Bradley at almost $13 million. I mean, that starts adds up pretty quick. But what say you about Avery Bradley possibly being a Grizzly next year?
I definitely don't want him at $13 million. I'm not quite sure why anybody would want him at that cost. Do you really want to pay Avery Bradley $4 million more than Kyle Anderson? I don't think that makes a ton of sense. Right. I don't think he's that much better. I want my salary cap, I want my books, my contracts to be as sensical as possible. And I don't think that makes much sense. So obviously you can opt out of Bradley, maybe rework his contract, bring him back for a 3-year, $18 million deal with $6 million per year, something like that. Maybe he would be interested in the long-term stability of that. That's a possibility. I think that, you know, obviously he defended LeBron well at times. Other times the size difference was pretty massive, and Avery Bradley was in a tough spot. But the thing that we need to keep in mind, and I wrote about this last week for the blog, in the absence of culture, and Peter Edmonds asked this question at the game before the game on Monday night. It's a great question. Now, in the absence of the opportunity to develop chemistry or culture among all these new players, opportunity. All these guys are playing for something, whether it's their NBA survival in the case of Noah or Parsons, whether it's Valanciunas trying to get as much money as he can, if he's able to opt out of his contract. Now, Avery Bradley's trying to convince the Grizzlies that whether it's still an option or a team option, whether it's another team down the road, that is worthy of this type of money and this type of contract. So
sure.
He's just another example of why I think the pick can convey still. All of these players have reasons to be motivated. Usually when you're out of the playoff picture, like Memphis is, usually you're in a place where you're looking at, you know, when you can go on vacation that third week of April. But these players all don't, to varying extents and degrees, have no idea where they're going to be next year. So they're really trying to put their best foot forward, and they're motivated to accomplish a goal that reminds you of Jackie Moon in the film Semi-Pro, you know, trying to finish in fourth place. It's like you're going to have the Memphis Tennessee Mega Bowl, the last game of the season, the ninth place to be able to convey the pick against the Golden State Warriors. And Avery Bradley's going to be a big part of that. He has shown that he has the capacity to defend still. He's shown that he can score the basketball at a decent clip, and that will obviously help them in the here and now. Now, you asked about next year. I don't think they should do it for $13 million. If you opt out, you can rework the contract. Even if it went up to $7 million a year, maybe a 3-year, $21 million contract, that's more money than the $13 million he'd get in 1 year, a little more stability. But at the same time, it doesn't kill your books as much as you mentioned. Like, you're going to have to eat the CJ Miles money more than likely.
Right.
If Valanciunas does opt in, you're getting a pretty good center. That's still, like you said, almost $18 million. You have to be smart if you're going to be able to rework this thing around Jaren. So I would look for them to try to avoid opting into that full amount if possible.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Avery Bradley at $13 million is an overpay for sure. Last question, I'll get you out of here. We've had a couple games, obviously, to see all the new players. It's a completely different team from the start of the season. But has there been anyone that has really impressed you, all the new players that have come in, that has impressed you so far, and a little bit of time we've been able to see them?
I like DeLon Wright. And I like DeLon Wright before he got here. And, you know, we talked about Valanciunas. He's an easy one. He's just so physical and so different from Mark. By the way, let's talk about Marc Gasol. It gets to be his best self in Toronto. I'm so happy for him. He had like 5 points and 5 rebounds and 8 assists and off the bench. He just gets to be his happiest self, and that's good for him. A stat line that would infuriate Grizzlies fans probably makes the Raptors very happy as they blow out Boston. But anyway, with Valanciunas, he's just the antithesis of Marc. He's physical. He attacks the rim. He's active in the box. He's more Zach Randolph than he is Marc Gasol. And I think the fans like that physicality. They want that from their bigs. And he is the yin to Jaren Jackson's yang in terms of Jaren's not physically capable of being that strong yet. He doesn't have that layer of a rebounding, strong, glass-eating physicality at the rim as a rim runner. That's not him just yet. So I think if Valanciunas stuck around, that'd be great. But in terms of who I like to watch, I like watching DeLon Wright because he's similar to Avery Bradley in that he's trying to prove that he's worth a certain amount of money. Obviously, DeLon is in restricted free agency. But he's fun to watch because he can do a variety of things with the basketball. He's not consistent with his shot yet, and I think that's a fair critique of his, especially from range. You'd like to see him convert a little bit more on the perimeter. But right. He has, to a lesser extent than Kyle Anderson, he has a malleable quality to where he can fit with a variety of different types of playing styles. He can play alongside Mike. He can play on his own as the point. He can be a two guard. I think in some lineups, and they did this a little bit against the Lakers, they can even go with a three guard lineup where it's Conley, Bradley, and Wright. And you have multiple ball handlers, multiple defenders, multiple guys that can score in a way off the dribble. Memphis hasn't had that in a while. So right. I get the frustration for fans because Wright is, you know, I think he's 3 months older than Valanciunas. So it's not like he's a young prospect, but at the same time, he's a good basketball player. And I think that with the opportunity that he's going to get many more minutes in Memphis than he would have with the Toronto Raptors, it's a chance for us to see if we actually got a guy who can be a rotation player for the Grizzlies in the next round or the next era of whatever Memphis basketball is going to look like with Jaren as the centerpiece. So I look forward to watching him, how he kind of fits and finds himself as a Grizzly. He figures to be a part of the puzzle moving forward.
I set that question up for you, and I assumed as much you were going to say DeLon Wright, but no worries. I'm probably not as high on him as you are, but I do see potential there. And so it will be very interesting to see how he works out. Again, he's one of the guys that the Grizzlies have to make a decision on, just like a lot of the other guys in the offseason. So as much as this team has looked different from the start of the season to the trade deadline, it could, again, look very different from the end of the season to next season for sure. Again, Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. If you're not already following him on Twitter, please do that. Or go and do that right now at Joe Mullenix. Man, I appreciate you joining me again for sure.
Of course. Looking forward to next week. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks again to Joe Mullenix, site manager of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Again, if you're not already following him on Twitter, do so at Joe Mullenix. If you're not already following the show on Twitter, do so at Locked On Grizz. Follow me on Twitter at King_producer. That is where we will continue the conversation after the show. If you're not already subscribed to iTunes, go subscribe. It will get automatic downloads every single day. If you have a minute or two, please go leave a review, rate the show in iTunes. That would be really, really helpful for us. If you're not an Apple person, you can go to Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. The show will be on every single platform, so it's easy to get to. So no excuses. Make sure you're subscribed in whatever your platform is. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss a show. We do these shows every single day. Again, if you don't know where to go, still can't figure it out after all that, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.